Would you go with me to the Lord in prayer, please? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we thank you for our friends. We thank you for our visitors. We thank you for Good Shepherd Baptist Church. And as we approach this text today, dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you open our hearts, our ears, and our minds to your word, your way, and your truth, that someone today might be challenged to say, what must I do to be saved, dear Heavenly Father? Lord, please glorify yourself. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. We are working our way to Jerusalem, and we'll end up in Jerusalem. Actually, we'll end up on the outside of the gates next week on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Amen. But in the meantime, on this journey, we're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 21. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 21. And while we go through it, I just want you to kind of put this in your mind. We have two main focal points that we want to hit today. Two main focal points. One, the incomparable Christ. Two, the unstoppable message. The incomparable Christ, and the Christ is the anointed one, the one chosen by God, the Messiah, HaMashiach. It's the anointed one, picked by God. And the other one is that unstoppable, the unstoppable message. Amen. Let's read John chapter 12, the Gospel of John chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Verse 4, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Our key verse is going to be verse 11. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause, the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Verse 20, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came, therefore, to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today, the incomparable Christ and the unstoppable message. The incomparable Christ and the unstoppable message. In this text, what we have going on is what we call the triumphant entry, the triumphal entry, which is mentioned in Scripture very plainly, very boldly. And so when you're going through this text, always keep in mind, this is a Jewish gospel. We serve a Jewish Savior. His name is Jesus, Yeshua, if you will. Amen? So when you see these texts, keep in your understanding that there are certain things that are to the Jews and other things that are for the Gentiles. Don't get those things mixed up. You end up with some really bad theology. You end up with some really bad understanding of scriptures unless you keep those things separate where they're supposed to be separate and together where they're supposed to be together. But right here, we're dealing primarily with the Jewish element. Primarily with the Jewish element. If you will, in verse 1, starting in verse 1, chapter 12, it says, then 6 days before the Passover came, 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Then Jesus came 6 days. Jewish background. First off, Jewish feast, the Passover. Another thing that I'm going to put in here just as a, oh, by the way, Bethany. Does anybody know where what Bethany is known as in 2019? Does anybody know? Any of you Jewish scholars? Because there's people right now, Christians in the church, who still don't understand and still dispute that the land of Israel belongs to the Jews. All of it. All of it. Put a pin here. Bethany. Have you ever heard of a place that people are fighting over, arguing about, called the West Bank? That's Bethany. Who does that belong to? Oh, the Jews. What a revelation. Amen. Is it fought over? That piece of land has been fought over by almost every nation on the planet. That doesn't change the fact that God said, it's mine. And these are my people, and I'm giving it to them. They got the title deed, amen? So here we go, here we go. Jesus is coming to the West Bank, Bethany. And it says 6 days before the Passover. Now, that's important that you understand that 6 days before the Passover, because when we talk about the triumphal entry, I want you to just keep this in mind as we move through. You're talking about the triumphal entry. Really, what's going on behind the scenes and why this is all taking place according to Scripture, what's really going on is that if you go back to Leviticus 23, the Bible tells you, again, that's God speaking to the Jews. He's saying, before the Passover, here's how you pick the Passover lamb. You get a lamb of the first year. You get a perfect lamb, a lamb without spot, without blemish. And you take that lamb into your house on the 10th. And on the 14th day, that's when you slaughter the lamb in the evening and sacrifice it as the Passover lamb. Well, what are you doing from the 10th to the 14th? You're examining the lamb to make sure there's no spot, no blemish. Because God said, don't give me nothing that you don't want. Amen. We got a bad habit of doing that. Here, God, this is all I got. No. God said, give me your best. Give me your best, because he gave us his best. Amen? So, here you go. Keep these dates in mind. This is the 6 days before the Passover. So, somewhere before the Passover lamb has to be examined and be found to be exactly what God wants, right? Now you got the basis of the whole story. Everything else is just dressing, but the primary story. Why at this point in time? Why at this point in time when Jesus had avoided this, he had avoided going to Jerusalem because the Jews were going to kill him. He had avoided even letting himself be known publicly as to who he is. He was always kind of, okay, I did that, but don't Don't be broadcasting that stuff out there. But now he gets, head sets his face like flint toward Jerusalem, and he heads because it's time. It's time, y'all. And so now here we are, 6 days before the Passover. He came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Picture this. I like this. Everybody knows the story about Lazarus. Okay. Lazarus was in the grave 4 days. Dead. Graveyard dead. Christ called his name. He got up. He came back. He resumed all of his activities. Now he's even sitting down to eat with Christ at this supper. Picture this. What did Jesus tell Martha when she said, if you had been here, everything would have been fixed? And Jesus said, don't worry, he'll get up. She said, well, I know he'll get up in the resurrection. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. At the table, the resurrected and the resurrection. The resurrected and the resurrection sitting together. Kind of sounds like the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Amen. And y'all understand, all of us, there's going to be a point in time, a specific point in time appointed by God where all the dead in Christ shall be raised. And all of us who have believed on the name of Jesus Christ, we're going to say, move over, Lazarus. Ooh, I'm looking forward to that. The resurrected and the resurrection. What a picture. Sitting down at the table together. Amen. Amen. And so now it says in verse 3, then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not the ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. I don't know much Greek, but I looked this one up. The word for thief, klepto, as in kleptomaniac. The boy couldn't keep his hand out the bag. Amen. He says, he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. He would take he put in one for Jesus, two for me. One for Jesus, two for me. He was a thief. And here's a lesson for us. He's crying out, but what about the poor? What about the poor? What about the poor? Maybe the one who's crying the most about what about the poor ain't concerned with the poor. He's concerned with his position and his power. And you're going to see that right here. You're going to see that all through this scripture, all through this text. It's not what people seem to be all the time. What about the poor? He could care less about the poor. He just didn't want to get busted. So, and he wanted to keep that position where he could keep his hands in the bag. And the Bible says, Jesus said to them in verse 7, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Are we supposed to be concerned with the poor? Absolutely. Absolutely. But understand, you got to set aside time to draw close to Jesus. Because he said, you know what? Poor folk going to be with you always. Now, this is a tip from your Pastor Will. The key is just not to be one of them. Amen? You want to be helping. That ain't nothing wrong with that. I want to help the poor. There was a gentleman who God put in my path to give me some wisdom when we first planted the church 10 years ago, Dr. Lloyd Myers. And I told Dr. Myers, I said, Dr. Myers, I want to go into the poor neighborhood. I want to help the poor. I want to feed the hungry. I want to do this and I want to do that. And he says, well, Will, how are you going to do that if your church is in the neighborhood, in the hood? He said, the reason they're in the hood because they ain't got no money. He said, so if you go in the hood with no money, how are you going to help the people in the hood with no money? Amen? Does that make sense? When he said it to me, whoa. But you know, that was wisdom. We are supposed to help the poor. We are supposed to take care of the feeble-minded and the infirm. But you can't do it when you're broke. Even Peter said, Lord, it's April 15th, tax time. I need some money. I'm broke. And what did Jesus say? Oh, love will take care of everything. No, he said, let me get you some money, boy. And he got him a fish and gave him what he needed to pay his taxes. You need money in this world to operate. Money's not bad. It's not bad. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on. And Jesus explained to them that she was doing this, setting up for his burial. Now, who's talking about Jesus dying? Nobody's wanting Jesus to die here. But Jesus is saying, y'all, he knew that there was not going to be enough time to anoint his body when they took him down off the cross. But what he said was, this woman, before anybody had any clue that this is how it was all going to end up. And by the way, how could anybody think that just a few days later, a week later, after we go through this, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, save us. How could anybody think for a moment that just 1 week later, the same crew would be saying, crucify, crucify, crucify. But Jesus knew, y'all. He knew what he was headed into. The Bible said he set his face like flint. He knew what was in their heart. He knew what they were going to do. But the Bible says it was the joy that was set before him. Wait a minute. You mean to go and hang, bleed, suffer, and die for me? Is the joy that was set before him. For me, somebody who could care less about him. For me, the person who was his enemy. The Bible says, while all of us were yet his enemies, he died for us. Man, what a love. What a love. He goes, I'm telling you now, she's anointing me because you won't have time to do it when they take me down off this cross. But even though I know this is where I'm headed, I'm still going to do it. Because God said, I wish that none should perish. To that end, y'all, we were talking back in my office earlier. Y'all, there's a lot of stuff going on in our country, okay? You know, there's a gentleman out there who's purporting that he's basically a born-again Christian, and he's running for president, and he's a homosexual. And he presents himself as an angel of light. He's smooth. And there are people in the church who don't understand that all of Satan's people present themselves as angels of light. How many years? I feel like Paul when he says, how long I got to keep talking to you about this? When are you going to get it? It's not that we beat them up. It's not that we hate them. It's not that we try to run them off. What we do is once you see it, you give them the gospel. Amen. You give him the gospel, but be not deceived. He's not what he presents himself to be. Be not deceived. I don't care what kind of education you have, how much service you have in the military. I don't care. It means nothing. Because God said in Romans, I turn them over. Because they rejected me. They rejected the truth that's known of God. Yeah, but pastor, what if some of them are born that way. Please, y'all, please, 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 church, understand. We're all born in sin. We're all shaped in iniquity. But guess what? We all got to repent. Is there anybody in here who don't have to repent? No. Everybody got to repent? Say amen. So why won't you say that boy got to repent? Instead of saying, well, you know, I'm not sure. Well, you better be sure. You got to be sure. And pray for him tonight. Will you? While you're praying for our nation. Pray for him and everybody else caught up in that nonsense. Please pray for him. Because God said, even while you and I were yet his enemies, he died for me. He died for that boy too. He said, let him turn. Him and anybody else like him. But don't you be deceived. Amen. Move on. He said, the poor will be with you always, take care of the poor, be diligent to be mindful of those things, but understand there's a time when you got to do like Mary, where you just got to stop and pause at the feet of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Let this world go by. Let this world go by, y'all. I know you think that your family won't run without you. I know you think that your job, they can't get along without you. I know that. But what helped me out with that was a poem that I read by an anonymous author years ago. He said, if you want to know how much you're going to be missed in this world, get a bucket of water, put your hand in the bucket, stir it up, splash it up, and when you pull your hand out, the hole that you leave, that's how much you're going to be missed. Amen? Understand, the people who are closest to you, your family, love on them. Your wife, your husband, your children. Because they're going to be the ones who really cry, the ones who really care. Everybody else, they love you, but you know what? The beat goes on. So, while you have breath, love on one another. Amen? We talk about it every first Sunday. We say, tarry one for another. And what we say? Why, preacher? Because it's a gift. When they came out of Israel, when they came out of Egypt for the Passover, he said, you better be ready to run because Pharaoh's hot in pursuit. But he said, now that you belong to Jesus Christ, tarry one for another. I like that, y'all. Hang out. Call somebody up just not to gossip. Call them up, just say hello. Okay. He says, verse 9. Much people of the Jews, I told you, this portion of this text, dealing with Jewish things, Jewish Passover, Jewish feast. Okay. He says, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. That's cold. That's one of the most cold-blooded things. The man just got raised from the dead. Come on, have some mercy. King David, when God said, David, you want me to punish you or do you want me to turn you over to these people? David said, no. He said, people have no mercy. They pretend they love you. They pretend they have mercy. No, David said, God, you punish me because when I'm hurting bad enough, you will say, okay, that's enough. This man just got raised from the dead, didn't do anything criminal. All he was doing was his life was a testimony to Jesus Christ. And they said, we've got to get rid of him too. Going to kill him again. Man, that's cold. Going to kill him again. Verse 11. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. That's our key verse, y'all. Our key verse is verse 11. Because these people, they saw a man that everybody knew. He was dead, 4 days in the grave, dead. And now he's up eating a sandwich. And they see this. And they say something. In fact, the Pharisees and the Sadducees said, we know that he's done a miracle. We know that this man has done some special stuff, but we still have to deny it because otherwise he's going to come and take our position. They're going to take our jobs. And so you have here, But when verse 11, when he says, the reason it's our key verse, because when these people looked at all the evidence, and remember, they saw the resurrection sitting down with the resurrected. When they saw that, it's hard for you to turn them away from something that they know they sat down and saw. And so the Bible says that when they saw Lazarus, they went away and believed on Jesus. That means it wasn't an instantaneous change, y'all. That means they had to kind of mull it over a little bit. They had to kick it around a little bit in their minds. See, because you got to understand, these Jewish folks been waiting since Genesis 3:15 looking for the Messiah. And they've been promised through the law and through the prophets. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And so, now they say, he's here. The one that God has sent to deliver us. Because at this particular time, they're under Roman rule. And life is kind of brutal under Roman rule. Even when it's good, it's bad. And so he said, they said, but when they went away, they believed on Jesus. See, the gospel message, when you and I tell people, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you got to understand, to the Greek, that's Gentiles, that's foolishness. To the Jew, the Bible says it's a stumbling block. They're with you. They're with you up until you get to the part to where he's the Son of God. He's a good man. He's a wonderful guy. He does nice things. But it's not until that Jewish man, when he believes on the name of Jesus, that's the game changer. That's the game changer. Changes everything. This, a tip from your Pastor Will. Do you want to know why, when you keep preaching to people and telling people about the Ten Commandments and keep the Ten Commandments and you got to do this and you got to do that, there's nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments. There's nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments. But understand this. Whenever somebody hears the message and they see it through the Ten Commandments, there's a veil over their face. And they can't get the full picture because all they have is the law. But this is my key verse in verse 11. Because once they believe, because you believe by faith. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So they once they believed on Jesus, now they can see who he is. But if you keep trying to tell people about the law, which is nothing wrong with the law, but they can't see Jesus through the law. You can only see Jesus through grace. Once these folks said, wait a minute, this is true. He actually brought this man back to life after 4 days. And they're examining, because they came because they'd heard of all the things that Jesus had done. This man had given sight to a man born blind. That was part of the messianic prophecies. This man, you remember what John the Baptist, when he was going to prison and going to be executed, John said, let me know for sure that you're really the one. And he said, go back and tell John, the blind see, the lame walk. And y'all know what? We don't hear anything else in the scripture about John being upset, John being concerned. That answer was all John needed. Y'all? When they saw this, when they started adding up everything, now they're believing this is the Christ. Now, before I read verses 11 through 15, let me take you down to verse 16. And because 16 pertains to 11 through 15. So let me read this verse and then follow me with this. He says, these things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, that means when he was resurrected, then remembered they that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. So the things that we're getting ready to talk about in verses 11 through 15, they just happened. They just spontaneously happened, and nobody could get the whole picture until after, don't forget, until after you believe on the name of Jesus Christ, until after you feel with the Holy Spirit, that's when you go, oh, aha, I get it now. We remember when he came into town and we threw down the palm leaves and we called Hosanna. Now I get it. So that's where we're at right here in verse 12. And it reads, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, which means save us and save us now. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Again, Jewish portion. It's to the Jews. It's for us to understand. The Jews were looking for the Messiah, not the Gentiles. Not the Gentiles. And so verse 12 says, on the next day. So we started off on the sixth day. Now we're down to the fifth day before the Passover. And guess what? What did I tell you? I said, during that 4-day period between the Passover between the start of the Passover and the execution of the lamb, it's going to be 4 days. 4 days. So we got six that he came in. We're on the fifth, and now things start changing. Because now for the first time throughout his whole ministry, Jesus is saying, look at me. Look at me. Take a look. Examine, if you will. See if it's all true. What'd I tell you about the lamb? You bring that lamb into the house for 4 days, and you got to look at, you examine that lamb. You look for spot, wrinkle, whatever, blemish. You got 4 days to do it. And then on the fourth day, you're going to crucify. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, oh, by the way, you hear that? They heard. Faith comes by, and hearing by the, amen. I like that. Y'all, this is good. This is good word. Faith comes by, and hearing by, baby, you hear that? I'm just so glad I like that. Anyhow, okay. Compose myself again. Okay. Okay, so here you go. It says that they took down, you saw our great Actors Guild up here that did that wonderful play, and they're going to do some more next week. Amen. It says they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, which means save us now. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 118:26. Psalm 118:26. Psalm 118:26, and it reads, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Amen. This is the fulfillment of prophecy. But like I told you in verse 16, they didn't realize it until after the resurrection that these are the things that they did, that these are the things that they said. And they're going, they said, oh my goodness. And you said the King of Israel. Here's the one thing that they didn't get, and they would not get until after the resurrection. The one thing they didn't get, they knew Jesus was powerful. They knew that Jesus had the power over life and death. They knew Jesus was a great man. They knew Jesus was a man sent by God, but they thought that Jesus was a man sent by God to come and whip them Romans. Put those people in their place, all their oppressors. They said, we got a king. Now us got a king. And we know what he's going to do. He's going to be taking names. Amen. That's what they expected. That's what they wanted. And that's why they were so happy. And y'all know the next week it turns out differently. But here they break out the palm leaves. They throw clothes down in his path. They're shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. You had this tumult. Understand, y'all, this prophecy had been going on since Genesis 3:15. This prophecy is being fulfilled. Prophecy out of all the law, all the prophets. They've been in and out of captivity year after year, back in and out. Kings come, kings go. Bad things happen to their nation. And people, you know, people always wonder, well, why do bad things happen to Christians? Bad things happen to everybody. It's just how, when you're a Christian, God gives you a different way to handle it. Bad things happen to everybody. It just sickens me to hear Christians say, well, if a loving God wouldn't do such and such and such and such. God loves, y'all. God loves. And when he says in Romans 8:28, he says, I'm working it to the good. Not for everybody. I'm working it to the good for those who love me and are called according to my purpose. For everybody else, bad is really bad. But for those of us who have believed on the name of Jesus Christ, he said, just draw a little bit closer. I'll hold you a little bit tighter. But Lord, Lord, he said, I lost my mama. I lost my mama. Come on. I'll take care of you. I'll pull you a little bit closer. Lord, I lost a child. How do you deal with that? You can't go to somebody talking about, well, I know how you feel. No, you don't. Even if you lost a child, that wasn't my child. No, I don't mean no disrespect, but that wasn't my child. Jesus said, I've been touched on every point. He said, I've been hurt on every level. Come a little bit closer. You see where Martha came and she wiped his feet, and then her tears, washed his feet with her tears. Do y'all know, I don't know if we'll ever fathom what was pouring out of her heart as she was at the feet of Jesus, crying, weeping and wiping. And you know what? I know many folks in here ain't strangers to that. Sometimes in tears just, I'm supposed to be a man. You can't stop it. When you stop and think about how good he is to you, you can't stop it. When you stop and think about how, through the darkest days, when nobody is around, nobody want to talk to you, nobody want to be with you, nobody, you hear that still soft, son, daughter, what's wrong? Come on. Oh, man. It's good. Mary knew about it, y'all. Martha was doing good stuff, but Mary was doing better stuff. He says they took the palm branches and they laid them down. And they cried out, King of Israel, King of Israel, that cometh in the name of the Lord. And then in verse 14, and Jesus, when he had found a young ass, set thereon, as it is written, in Zechariah 9:9. Let's go to Zechariah 9:9. Zechariah 9:9. And it reads, say amen when you get there. Zechariah 9, that's one of those little books in the Minor Prophets. When you get there, say amen, or just say close enough. Okay, I'm going to read. In the King James Bible, it reads, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, about, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the king cometh unto thee. He is just and having what? Salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. The Bible saying, do you understand? Now do you know why everybody's so happy? Now do you know why everybody's so excited? Because he's coming. They've been waiting. They've been waiting. They've been looking. They've been waiting. They've been waiting. And now the Messiah, the incomparable Christ, the anointed one, he's here and he's showing up. He's not showing up empty-handed. He's showing up with salvation. He's showing up with, guess what, y'all? When you close your eyes for the last time, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's good news. That's good news. If you have a faith, if you have a religion, I was speaking to some Catholic friends of mine, and these people, they love the Lord. They're devout. I mean, they are really, really devout. And they believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, he rose from the dead, paying for their sins. They believe that. But on top of that, they put this Mariology and they put this work stuff on top of it. And so they tell me, I said, well, how do you know you're saved? I mean, what you do is you do good. And then if you mess up, well, you go back to the bottom of the ladder. I said, wait a minute, let me see if I got this straight. You do good. And then when you mess up, okay, God saved you when you was bad. Okay, got that. And so now he saved you. And now all of a sudden you get bad again. And he dumps you down to the bottom of the heap. Okay. So I asked them, I said, well, have you ever heard of the word gospel? In 1 Corinthians 15, he says, this is the gospel message. The word gospel means good news. It means good news, church. The gospel, good news. Here you go. If what you believe, if what you have been taught about God is that you can work and work and work and work and work, and then when you mess up, he either puts you at the bottom of the heap or you're through. What I said to my Catholic friends is, okay, so will you please explain to me where is the good news? See, because before I got saved, I knew that ultimately I'm going to mess up and be back at the bottom of the heap. Grace and mercy. Jesus saved us while we were yet his enemies. And when we mess up, you know what he does? When he adopts us into the family, there's not one parent in here that when you adopt your child into the family, that child never, ever, ever doesn't belong to you. That's your child. And you'll do, sometimes you spank them, sometimes you talk to them, sometimes you do this, you do, but they're still your child. I'm a child of the King. Amen. He picked me off the shelf, warts and all. He got me. He got me. When he chose you, he knew what you was like. I wonder if Jesus ever wants to look over at the Holy Spirit and say, that one's going to be pretty tough. I don't know. No. He says, whosoever will, come and you shall be saved. That's the good news. If you don't know him in the pardon of your sins today, if you don't know him, he says, call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. You see in this text where it says, and the Jews believed on him. And once they believed on him, now they got a whole new attitude. Now they're saying, here comes the King of Israel. Here comes the King of Jerusalem. And he's riding in on a colt. An ass. And oh, by the way, you know this is good news because when the king is coming in peace, he comes in on an ass. When the king is coming into town for war, he comes in on a white horse. Watch out. Watch out. You don't want him coming in on a white horse. Not unless you're riding with him. Amen. That's what the books say. The books say if you aren't riding with him and he show up on a white horse, you're in deep trouble. But why now why he's coming bringing a message of peace, why he's now coming bringing a message of salvation, he's saying to the whole world, he's saying to anybody, everybody, whosoever will, believe on the name of Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's good news. That's good news. So now, in verse 14, and Jesus, when he had found a young ass, well, let's go on to 15. Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy kingdom cometh sitting on an ass's colt. Thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. And I told you in verse 16, that's all referencing everything from 11 to 15, which they didn't understand until after the resurrection. Okay, verse 17. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. Those people who had seen, who had been there on the scene when Jesus raised Lazarus out of the dead, they went and told everybody. Church, there's a lesson for you. There's a lesson for you. There's a lesson for me. When you know who Jesus is, you're supposed to tell somebody. You're supposed to love somebody enough that wherever they are and whoever they are, you and you go tell them. It says they bear record of what they saw. They didn't have to embellish it. They didn't have to do anything. They just said, this is what we saw. This is what we know. And through that testimony of those people, the scripture tells you that more people came to the feast because they wanted to see Lazarus and Jesus. We pick up in verse 17. Verse 17 is where we pick up with the unstoppable message. Verses 1 through 16, including parts of 17, talks about the incomparable Christ. There's nobody like him. That's why the people threw down the palm leaves. That's why the people cried out, Hosanna. They knew the scriptures. They knew the story. They had known different false teachers that had come and gone. But they said, there's nobody like Jesus. Nobody like he's incomparable. Nobody comes close to do. Nobody ever spoke in a man who'd been dead for 4 days, got up out the grave. Nobody had ever given sight to a man who'd been born blind. Nobody. So they tallied up all these things. And now they're convinced. They said they have believed on Jesus Christ. Second part, the unstoppable message. Verse 18. For this cause, the people also met him, for that they heard, faith comes by, and hearing by. Okay, guess what? If you ain't telling nobody, they can't hear. I know that's deep. That's theologically deep. Okay, you got to tell them, folks. You got to tell them. No matter how good a life you live, no matter how clean a life you live, you have to tell them. Jesus lived a perfect life, and he still told them. Amen. He says, the Pharisees, now talk about trying to stop this message. Turn your Bible to John 11, 47 and 48. It's just probably on the page, one page back. John 11, 47, 48. John 11, 47, 48. And it reads, then gathered the chief priests, because all these things are happening. This is immediately after he had raised Lazarus from the dead, and the murmuring had already started. People already said, what's going on here? Okay, he says, then gathered the chief priest and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. They weren't concerned with anything but themselves. They didn't even have any theological differences with Jesus per se. Because Nicodemus, when Nicodemus spoke to the Sanhedrin, he said, we all know that this man is sent from God. But it got pretty silent in that room on him. But he said, y'all know it. Y'all know it. We know the truth. People who reject Jesus, you cannot reject what you don't know. They get what little bit they know about Jesus, and they flat out reject it. Not that they don't know it. God tells you in Romans chapter 1, he says, everybody knows. Not only me, they know the triune God. I thought the Trinitarian doctrine was too deep for us to understand. It's too deep for me to explain, but it ain't too deep for me to read. God says everybody knows it. They said, he says, even the Godhead. What's that? The Trinitarian doctrine. Does he explain it? No, he don't explain it. He said, but they know it. And he goes, and guess what? And I will hold them accountable for it. I will hold them accountable for it. So before you start whining and moaning about, but pastor, they don't know. They do. But you don't want to take the arrows to talk to them and encourage them and pray for them. And we must, church. We must. Even our enemies. He says, verse 19, he says over there in verse 47 and 48, they said, we got a problem here. So now we go back over to chapter 12, verse 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevailed nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Read that again. Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Now they're doing a Keystone Cop routine. He didn't say, look, I messed up. I missed it. He goes, it was you. If you had done what you were supposed to do, this would have never happened. Amen. That's what he's saying. He goes, it's your fault. That's called human nature, y'all. It's your fault that I'm broke. It's your fault because I ain't got a job. It's your fault because I live where I live. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. No, the Bible teaches the exact opposite on all those things. Amen. Okay, here you go. Here you go. I told you. This message is unstoppable. We see where the Pharisees conspired to shut it all down. We see where the Pharisees conspired to get rid of Jesus. But understand what Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, he says, even though this is going to take place, he says, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Do you hear that? That's called good news, because he's saying, come what may, and let that be a warning to you, church. Let that be a warning for us. If Jesus says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ, guess what? The gates of hell are coming, and they're in the house. But Jesus said, it don't matter. That's good news. He said, y'all just get behind me. Get behind me. Watch, Moses said, he held up his rod. He said, stand back and behold the glory of God. That's a beautiful passage, y'all. He said, everybody's in a panic. Everybody, but step back. Step back. Oh, my job is upside down. My family is upside down. My children doing this and they doing that. And drugs and alcohol and homosexual. Oh, look, be still. And I'm God all by myself. I like that. I like that. See, because I can't focus on too much. I like God all by himself. And watch him. And if you doubt him, just look back. Just look back. If you doubt him, Because sometimes, you know, as we meet new challenges, we get kind of shaky. You know, them knees get kind of shaky. But if you doubt him, just look back. They used to sing a song over at Mount Olive. When I look back over my life, just look back, y'all. Just take a quick look back and understand, through it all, God was there. Through the nights that you cried like a baby, through the days that you shouted for joy because you got your first paycheck, he was there. He's not just there for the bad times. He's for the good times. He's there all the time. Just take a look. Before you panic, before you throw in the towel, just take a look. Little fighting thing. Joe Frazier ended up, I think it was the third fight. The third fight for those kids, for the older folks in here. Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali were fighting. And Joe was just taking a pummeling. It was in their third fight. And Joe was just taking a pummeling. But Joe was a professional fighter. Joe was I liked Ali, and a lot of people liked Ali. But Joe Frazier was my boy, y'all. Smoking Joe Frazier. You don't get a nickname like Smoking Joe Frazier unless you a bad dude. And he had a left hook that he'd bring from down south. He'd shoo like that. And Smoking Joe was taking a beating. He was taking a beating, y'all. And the man said, do you want me to throw in the towel? He said, no. He said, no. Just let me keep going. Just let me keep fighting. Y'all, when you're ready to, because Joe knew he had more left. When you feel like giving up, before you throw in the towel, call on the name of Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus. Put him to the test and see, won't he do it? He'll do it. Just call on the name of the Lord, for goodness sake. Stop panicking, pulling out your hair. Call on the name of the Lord. And the Pharisees, in verse 19, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks. They said the whole world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Romans 1:16 says that the gospel is to the Jew first and also the Greek. So guess what? There were Greek people here at the Jewish festival, but it was the Jewish festival in the Passover. Don't forget what's being taught here at the Passover. We're talking about the very first feast of the spring, and what's being taught here is they're going through the story of the Exodus. Every time at Passover, they replay the Exodus. They replay how the children of Israel were oppressed by Egypt. They replay the 10 plagues that God brought on Egypt. They replay how the Egyptians would not relent. In fact, even though God put hardship on them, they still wouldn't relent. And then they replay how on the last plague, God said, here's what you do. Here's what you do. You take the blood of a lamb without spot, without blemish. And you take that blood and you put it over the door. On the mantles of the door. And then you go inside and you don't come out. You don't peek. You're going to hear screaming. You're going to be hollering. You're going to hear gnashing of teeth. Because everybody who does not accept the blood, the first child of every house, the firstborn is going to be killed. Would a loving God do that? Yes, because he gave you the opportunity to change. And look what he said. Whosoever puts this blood over the mantle. Do you know he didn't care if a Gentile was in there? He didn't care if a homosexual was in there. He didn't care if a wife beater was in there. He said, if you got enough faith to put the blood on, I'll fix everything else. But you got to start with trusting me and believing what I say. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. It's the blood. It's the blood. It's the blood. Stop telling people this, your programs is this, is that, nonsense. It's the blood. That's what they were being told. That's what they were being talked about at the feast. And then he says,
And there were certain Greeks. These Greeks, now we know the Ethiopian eunuch, he was a Greek. He was a Gentile. And he was the first one into the church. But these folks are sitting here and they're listening. And they like the Jewish festivals and stuff like that. But you know, to them, most of the stuff that the Jews are doing is foolishness. It's foolishness. But you know what? The Bible says, at this point, we're going into that last 4 days. We're going to that last 4 days of examining the Messiah, the one that God is sending. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. I told you the foundation of this text is to the Jews. It's to the Jews. It's for the Gentiles. Gentiles are anybody who's not a direct descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's most of us in here, if not all of us. He says, so now, how do we know that Jesus is the one, not only for the Jews, but for the Gentiles? Understand, when this text was written in Isaiah 49, when this text was written, Jews and Gentiles were in total antipathy to one another. They hated each other more than any racial discrimination you've ever seen in the United States. They just called each other dogs. Dogs. And no love lost. Couldn't stand each other. But look what God said in Isaiah 49:6. Look, it's God, y'all. You want a solution to what's going on in our country? You want a solution to what's going on in your family? It's God. Here's what he says, verse 6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Unstoppable. This message is unstoppable. God tells you in Isaiah, he goes, it's no big deal for a Jewish man to be the Jewish king. What did you expect? But for a Jewish man to be the Jewish king. But God says, in order for you to know that this is the one that I sent, not only will he be the king of the Jews, he'll be the king of the Gentiles as well. And those two people groups will come together in Christ and worship God. That's the solution, y'all. The problem is our hearts, but that's the solution. And then he says here, talking about this unstoppable message, verse 21. The same came before to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Church, when you're out witnessing, when you're out just living life, make sure that when people look at you, they can see Jesus. Because that's going to draw folks unto our Savior. The Jews found him. He's an incomparable Christ. He's the Messiah promised by God. Once they believed on the name of Jesus Christ, once they got past all the law and the duty and stuff, which again, there's nothing wrong with the law, but you can only follow Jesus Christ by faith and grace and mercy. Church, unstoppable message. God's saying to you and I, if there's anybody out there that he puts in your path and they don't know Jesus Christ and the pardon of their sins, you talk to him. You talk to him. And when you talk to him, make sure you let them see Jesus. And when you do that, that message will continue to be unstoppable. It will go from one person to the next person to the next person. And God will bless. And God bless you. Thank you for your time.